Guys, we've got good news and bad news for you. The bad news first. The devil is real. Now the good news, he can't harm us if we're in right relationship with God and the church. Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle tough issues men may think about, but we don't often talk about. We're breaking down the Lord's Prayer. Our topic, deliver us from evil. This time on Crossing the Goal. We're wrapping up the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father here on Crossing the Goal. Deliver us from evil, our topic this time. Let's meet the Crossing the Goal team. Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Renewal Ministries and author of Living the Lord's Prayer. We have Curtis Martin of Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And our coach, Danny Abramowitz, played for the Saints, coached for the Bears and the Saints. And they're with us here on the Crossing the Goal, looking at the Lord's Prayer. Coach, we see these funny images of an angel on one side and a little devil on the other side, but the devil is nothing to play with.
No, we're talking about the devil here, the evil one. He's a liar, he's a cheat, he's a murderer, he's no good. And the devil doesn't run around with a pitchfork and a tail. He's cunning, baffling, he's tricky. He's always conniving. We got to know that. In Ephesians 6, starting with 12, it says, our battle is not against human forces, but powers and principalities. The real thing, the devil.
Yeah. And people try to deny his existence all the time and laugh at people who believe in it, which is absolutely crazy. I mean, Jesus, what happened to Jesus when he was baptized, the beginning of his mission, he was baptized in the Jordan? What's the first thing the Spirit led him to do? Led him into the desert to make spiritual warfare on the devil. And then later, John in his first letter says, the reason the Son of Man came was to destroy the works of the devil.
We got to remember that the world is at war. And some of us feel like, well, I think we're sitting on the sideline. How do you know if you're sitting on the sideline? Well, I would say this. I've got sons who play football. Last week, they had a chance to play number one in the state. And they couldn't sleep the night before. They were jitters. They were ready to go. They were flustered. When's the last time you woke up and felt that way about your Catholic faith? If you're not, if you don't feel like you're engaged, if there's a reason to get up in the morning and go out and conquer evil, then I think you're probably sitting on the sidelines. Time to get off the easy chair and out to work.
You know, a lot of times we're afraid to talk about the devil. It's never brought up many times. How many times have you heard a gospel, or after the gospel, a homily on the devil or evil or damnation? You know, this we're not talking about some game here. We're talking about some real stuff. The consequences of dealing with the devil is eternal damnation. That's what we're talking about.
If you're
going
to be delivered from evil, you have to actually believe there is evil.
Absolutely.
And we live in a world where people say, oh, there's a lot of bad stuff, but we want to say things evil. That's just wrong. In fact, it's stupid. You've got to recognize that Jesus, who is truth, told us there's a devil. He battled the devil. In fact, he vanquished the devil. We need to believe in the devil, and then we need to believe in Jesus' power to conquer him in our lives and in our world.
And how can you live in this world without realizing that evil is real? I mean, it's all around us. It's not a figment of our imagination.
I mean, you're right, Brian. It's something that you can read about in the newspaper literally every day. Not about the devil himself, but the fruit of his work in the world. How else do you explain the reality of persistent evil?
I understand if you look at what's going on college campuses, you see the effect and just the attack on young people today. As a parent, I look back and it gives me a cold sweat sometimes to see what our children have to go through. And I think most people who are watching are going to be able to say, I have kids or grandkids who are right in the jaws of this right now. We have to understand this. We have to own it and call it by its right name. And then we have to go to war and allow the power of Christ to kill it.
And it doesn't do any good to deny the devil's existence. So there's the two extremes. The one extreme is the devil's around every corner, and yet gets a little, you get paranoid. It's a little ridiculous. It's imbalanced. But at the same time, you cannot deny his existence, or you're going to end up losing the fight.
All right, it's clear we need deliverance, and for that, we need a game plan. Good thing, because Curtis and Peter have one for us next, here on Crossing the Goal.
Peter, we're wrapping up the Lord's Prayer. We're working on deliver us from evil. And we're told in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, that the Son of God appeared that he might destroy the works of the devil. How does he do it?
Isn't it interesting that those closest to Jesus were so acutely aware of the reality of the devil and the reality of the spiritual warfare that Jesus engaged on our behalf with the devil and what we're called to do as Jesus' disciples. So how did Jesus do it? I want to read from Colossians. Now, Paul, you're reading from 1 John. Paul says this. He's talking about Jesus. He says, He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. Dominion, a dominion, a rule. Who is the ruler of that dominion?
The devil.
The devil, right? He's delivered us from the dominion of darkness, and He's transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. Now, chapter 2, Paul says, And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. It's important to understand where Paul's coming from. We were once dead. This is the biblical worldview. We were dead in our sins, and we were without hope in the world. So Paul says, when you were in that condition, God made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having canceled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside. How? By nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the principalities and powers, and He made a public example of them, triumphing over them in Him, in Jesus. Now, there's a lot there we could talk for a long time, but I'll try to summarize as quickly as possible. Paul says at one point, he said, if the devil would have known what God had planned through the Lord Jesus, God the Father planned in Jesus, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. He did the one thing he never should have done.
St. Augustine says that the flesh of Christ was like the bait on a hook. And once the devil who hates humanity Jesus on the cross, he engaged God the Son, and it's game over.
And this is why Jesus went to the cross for us. Because the one thing that separated us from God, the devil had each one of us. Because we had connived with sin by our own decision, and that conniving with sin caused us to be separated from God. The wages of sin is
death.
Saying yes to sin produces death. We don't have a future. We don't have any hope. That's why we died. Jesus came to deal with the sin problem, and He did it by purifying us first. He shed His blood on the cross. The one thing the devil never should have done, he thought he was triumphing over the Lord. As he's nailing the Lord to the cross, he thinks that's his greatest moment. But as soon as one drop of that precious blood was shed, St. Paul tells us that blood cleansed our conscience of sin. He cleansed us. He purified us through His blood, through His love. And that purification made it possible for us to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For God, who was remote because of our sin, is now able to come near to us and literally live in us as in a temple and make us a new creation. That's redemption, that's salvation, and that's how Jesus destroyed the work of the devil.
You talk about how those who were closest to Jesus believe in the devil. That's because they saw Him sweat blood. That's because they saw Him do battle. I want to look at the way that Jesus encounters this and see the power of this. I mean, the Psalms are what Jesus was praying when He's hanging from the cross. And if we look at Psalm 22, this is a psalm that Jesus would have memorized as a young boy. And you could imagine the young Christ child memorizing these scriptures. And there's some of the passages. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all of my bones. They divide my garments amongst them, and for them they cast lots. I mean, Jesus has this manifested right in front of Him. And as if He doesn't know what the Psalms are saying, the very next Psalm is the one we know the best, Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Christ's life is permeated by the Word of God. In fact, He is the Word of God made flesh. And so we see that's how we're supposed to follow Him and allow us to triumph over evil by letting the Word of God radiate in our lives, first through the Scriptures, second through the sacraments. And this is what the church gives us every time we go to Mass.
You know, one of the things that Peter says, resist the devil. You're talking about taking weapons, the weapons the church gives us, the weapons of the Word of God. Paul says at one point, the Scripture, the Word of God is what? It's living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able, literally,
to pierce
our hearts and to see where we connive with the work of the devil, to see where we're susceptible, to see the places the devil wants to circle around and get at us. The Word of God sheds a light in there, exposes it, and allows us to bring it to the Lord, and the Lord's able to heal it and not give the devil access to it in any way.
We've got to remember that we have three enemies. We have to understand what they are. They're the world, the devil, and the flesh. But it's not the world in the sense of the Grand Canyon or the Pacific Ocean. It's those agencies within the world that have turned their back on Christ. Any power that has turned its back on Christ. The devil, of course, we know, but also our flesh. And I'm not talking about your skin. I'm talking about that carnal desire that when we're tempted says, that looks good. Yeah. I think I'd like to do that. Christ gives us the power to overcome all three of these enemies and actually make them slaves to Christ and to goodness.
Because he himself has actually destroyed them. He made a public show of them. He triumphed over them. Why? Because they couldn't get a hold of him. They couldn't get him to turn from his trust and yielding to the Father, which the devil did to every one of us, to seduce us to not believing and not trusting the Father. And so what Jesus ends up doing is he conquers it all, then gives us a capacity through the power of his Holy Spirit to have his will and his strength against sin.
He delivers us from evil.
Absolutely.
Brian?
All right, thanks, Curtis and Peter. We've got our game plan. Coach, when Curtis said the devil engaged the Son, game over, that kind of sets the tone for the red zone.
I just hope we can deliver down in the red zone.
We will. The red zone is next here on Crossing the Goal. If anybody can deliver, Coach. We're in the red zone on Crossing the Goal, and we're talking about deliver us from evil, part of the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And Danny, you and I both know everybody's dealing with something.
All of us have something in our life. Take, for instance, my life. As I grew up, I had a wonderful Catholic parents. Catholic education went all the way up through into my life. A wonderful pro career and all this kind of business. And then in my life, there came a crossroads. And you know, we have the evil one over here, and good over here, whispering in your ears continuously. And I chose evil. I went down that path to destruction, almost destruction.
I've been there too.
And then the Lord turned me around through a program called AA. Once that started happening in my life, and then the Lord got a hold of me, and then I start not only sober, but serene. And now in my life, guys, through the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life and this wonderful church we're involved with, I'm not beating my drum, I'm just telling you fact. I pray daily, 45 minutes a day. I go to Mass daily. I go to confession monthly. I turn to the Blessed Mother. I say the rosary. I use spiritual direction, and I'm involved with men's prayer groups. I have to do that. If I don't do that, it says, for the grace of God, there go I. I might be back in the same condition I was before. I mean that.
I mean, just to follow up on what you're saying, I mean, at one point in your life, then you were drifting with the culture, you're drifting with the world, as Curtis described it so well up there. You're drifting with that whole flow of kind of resistance, indifference to the Lord. And then by God's grace, you got to the point where you started to see it, you cried out to God, and then he brought you into a whole different orientation. Then you started doing what the apostles are always asking us to do, stand up, be alert, be sober, resist the devil.
Exactly.
He'll flee from you. Wake up, get in the game.
You got to fight.
That's exactly
what you fight.
And then you started fighting, and then the fruits of the Spirit started to start growing in your life. You become a different person.
No, absolutely. In my life right now, I have more burning desire. I'm 63 years old. I have a more burning desire inside me like a little teenager. I'm ready to fight. This is a time. This is the time to fight, guys. Yeah. No, seriously.
Absolutely.
We're out here in a battle.
Yeah.
We just read Ephesians sometimes. Our battles against, you know, priors and oh, come on. No, there's a battle out here.
Absolutely.
A mean battle.
There's a battle going on.
You don't have to convince Curtis.
I'm telling you.
Let's go. No, and we've been told a half-truth our entire life.
Yeah.
People walk around and told us a half-truth. It's true. It's just only half the truth. God loves you no matter what.
Yeah, right.
And that's true.
It's true. Absolutely
But it's the other half of the truth. It gets us, if we don't know it, it gets us a lot of trouble. Then we think, well, if he loves me no matter what, then it doesn't matter what I do. No, God loves you no matter what. And he loves you way too much to leave you the way you are right now. God is very serious about what you do, about what you think and say. And we have to recognize that as we sit around and think, well, nobody, I really don't make any difference. No, you make all the difference in the world. God made you for a purpose. He put you here and now. He's got roles and responsibilities he wants you to do. The world's waiting for you to wake up. I mean, when I realized this as a sophomore in college, changed everything in my life. All of a sudden I went from playing around and goofing off and getting in trouble to all of a sudden, you know, what can I do to be the man I ought to be? And I'm still on a long path to get there.
And the Lord, you're saying, wake up. The Lord, if you remember in your life, think about in your life, each one of us and people out there, The Lord taps on our heart. Danny, Danny, Danny. He called many times in my life, but
sure,
I never paid attention.
Not Claudia?
It was her too. Please, yeah, Danny. Like she was saying, please, Danny.
You're kind of like a kid going, blah, 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 blah.
She wasn't tapping. She wasn't tapping.
But he's there right there, and we have a choice. The door to our heart's funny. It only has a doorknob on the inside.
Right.
He finally knocked, and I listened.
Yeah.
And I opened it up and asked him to come in. Now, did my life immediately start changing? Everything, the bells and whistles went off and everything was great? No.
But my story is similar to yours. Is we have been delivered from evil.
Exactly. But because I turned to him and allowed him to come into my life and start working in my life. So I'm not fighting. You got God up here. You got the devil here. He's a higher being than us as humans down here. He's bigger than us. How are we going to defeat him on our own? We can't.
No way.
We have to bring the Lord into our life.
We have to recognize that God has not only given us the power through the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, but he's given us tools and assistance. I mean, we actually have guardian angels. We have access to the Holy Spirit. We should be asking for help, but we don't ask for help. We get in trouble. And we as men, it fights against some of the stuff inside of us, the broken stuff inside us, say, oh, I can do it on my own.
Yeah.
Guess what, guys? You cannot do this on your own. There is no way.
You know, Jesus said at one point, the devil has no hold on me. I've always found that so interesting. Yeah. Uh-huh. He couldn't get at him. Why? Because Jesus never gave in ultimately to the temptation to sin. He never did. He was tempted like us, but he never sinned. And one of the things that happens is we give the devil access when we say yes to sin. This is big, because ultimately the reason the devil wants to seduce us into sin, he plays on our weakness and our temptation, the things that we desire, the forbidden fruit, the apple. He keeps putting the apple in front of your face, because what he needs to do, because he can't just jump in and take control of you, what he needs you to do is exercise your freedom to pursue this desire that you think is going to lead to a good for you. And then once you say yes to him, you give him a handle, then another one, then another one. And where he wants to lead you ultimately is to slavery to sin, and then despair and death and into hell forever. That's what he's after, because he hates you and me, because we're the image of the living God.
But there's good news. We kicked his rear end.
Absolutely.
John 16:33. You're going to have trouble in the world. I have overcome the world. Yeah. Does that mean there's going to be battles and skirmishes in our life and all the things we talked about here? But we should be positive, knowing we have salvation. We won.
We should be extremely confident. He says, greater is he that is in you,
Danny Abramowitz,
and you, Curtis Martin, than he that is in the world. Literally, that's a fact. So when you're struggling, go ahead, Curtis.
No, we're guaranteed victory, but only if we fight. If you sit on the sidelines, you're not part of the winning team.
No, exactly.
Get on the field and play.
Yeah. And we have warriors to go to. You mentioned angels, and a lot of times angels are thought of as kind of girly things, you know. But guys, we have angels. You should see these guys. When Satan starts to mess with the cross and the goal team, who do we pray to?
Saint Michael the Archangel.
Defend us in battle.
We got to fight. We fight for all these other things. We fight for all these issues out here in the world, crazy issues. But we don't fight and stand up to abortion and things of that. We know it's wrong. Or fight. We see temptation in our life. Why don't we fight back? Why don't we get up and stand up in churches and be good husbands and good workers in the church, in the vineyard? They said the labors, there's a whole lot. Wouldn't you love to have more labors in your focus?
I would love to have, how about 1,000 more labors to be outstanding?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Don't you think he'd make a good coach?
Yeah, he would make a, he's well, got a motivating guy. You know?
If you don't, this isn't no game. I mean, if I was a fiery guy as a player and a coach, and that was just a game. If I'm not fiery for the Lord, I'm a phony here. Why am I on this show? I'm a phony.
Did you learn that from Mike Ditka?
Where did he learn it from? He's a competitor, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I keep thinking about the apostles, and it makes my heart just set on fire. I mean, Peter said, resist the devil. He said, who is the devil? He said, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, those are our brothers telling us that. They know exactly what they're talking about, and we want to take to heart what they're saying. And he says, if you resist him, he will flee from you. Stand up and resist. But if you just kind of lay there and you're sort of passive, and he'll roll over you.
And that passivity is our culture today. We have watched the killing of children, the mass production of pornography, all happen as Christian men have sat by and watched television.
Right.
And we need to get guys up and active, on their knees in prayer, and then out active, overturning evil in our culture,
Curtis,
by letting Christ overturn it first in their hearts.
Yeah. Curtis, you brought up a good point here. Is guys like Curtis and guys like you guys here and our
and
priests.
And you too.
And you, right.
But anyway, guys are out here in the battlefront. The other guys need to lift the guys like you up in prayer. Because when you go out and start doing what you're doing, like with Focus and Renewal Ministries, the devil's coming after you twice as hard. He wants to defeat you because he knows the good work that you're doing. You got these Auburn students here today viewing the show. The devil wants to try to go after them. We got to lift these young people up, lift you up. All the people trying to do, lift one another
up. As long as you're not a threat, he's going to leave you alone.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I was in
his
kingdom, right?
You know, you're not a threat. He's not going to come after you on the level of other people who are a real threat to him. I think one of the things that we can learn, we've all learned, is by the grace of God, we learn to discern a little bit the spirits that are at work. We can tell when the devil's after us. You can start to pick it up. You can get his scent if you're alert and you're wise, and then you can resist him.
All right, so we know evil's out there. It's all around us. But Jesus taught to pray to the Father, deliver us from evil. And in just a minute, you guys get the last word. We have pushed through the red zone, headed to the end zone here on Crossing the Goal. Game over. Well, almost. We've reached the end zone here on Crossing the Goal. We're talking about Deliver Us from Evil from the Our Father. Now is the time when each member of our Crossing the Goal team gets his last word. We always start with Peter.
Thanks, Brian. Brothers, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to make a decision in your heart that you want in, the battle, and you're going to stand up and you're going to resist the devil in all the areas that the Lord has given you responsibility for. First, your own mind and heart, then your marriage relationship, your children, your neighborhood, your business, wherever. You're going to stand against the tactics of the devil wherever he is. No more passivity, no more indifference. You're in the game.
Great word. In addition to that, I think what we can do is building. We want to recognize that the world is at war, as we've said. There's a corner of the battle that's got your name on it. And I want to encourage you to look into your heart as you're giving your life to Christ and saying, yes, I want to play, and saying, where is the evil that drives you most crazy? Is it that abortion clinic down the street from your neighborhood? Is it that pornography shop? Whatever it might be, and say, I'm going to war there. I'm going to plant the flag. I'm going to win. Now, the way you go is not to go straight there. Go to church. I want to invite you to go into a Catholic church, go before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and say, Lord, I'm here. Give me my marching orders.
Excellent. Man, a guy told me one time, he says, we're either in a battle or temptation, or we're coming out of a battle and temptation, or we're about to enter a battle of temptation. Guess what? But the Lord also told us in 1633, I have overcome the world.
Deliver us from evil. We hope that you will pray the Lord's Prayer in a new way now. This has been a great series on the Our Father. Our Crossing the Goal team, Coach Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin of Focus, and Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Renewal Ministries. I'm Brian Patrick. Looking forward to seeing you next time on Crossing the Goal. Thanks, Curtis and Peter, for the game plan. Coach Curtis's line, the devil engaged the sun, game over. That sets the tone for the red zone.
I just hope he can get down there and deliver.
We're in the red zone next.
Here you guys, okay. That was good, guys. I didn't know you had it in you.